Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode is sponsored by the Digital Marketing Institute, helping over 10,000 professionals worldwide to fulfill their potential in a variety of exciting roles, from growth hacker to social media specialist. As you know, digital is transforming the way we live, work, and play. And the Digital Marketing Institute can help you to develop the essential skills that you need to succeed. Visit dmipostgrad.com, that is dmipostgrad.com, to download a brochure and kickstart your digital career today.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster. But you can call me Johnny. My guest today is the president of the Statements brand, which includes Statements the Salon, Statements the Academy, Statements Photography, and the Statements Project. She has been in the beauty industry for over 24 years, but calls herself an accidental entrepreneur, as when she was 18, she accidentally opened her first salon. My guest still works behind the chair with her team of 50 stylists, as well as educating, managing, and transitioning new talent into the cosmetology industry. My guest's salon has been named the best salon in Prince William County and Northern Virginia for over 5 years running, and is due to break $3 million in revenue this year. Now, let's hack Nick Trowbridge. Today's episode is brought to you by the incorporation experts at Biz Filings. The 80-20 rule. Do 20% of the work, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at and outsource the rest. So when it comes to incorporating your business, you need to hire the experts. And when it comes to hiring an expert, go to bizfilings.com. At Biz Filings, the process is clearly laid out for you with step-by-step guidance from on-demand professionals. Incorporation can bring you savings, protections, and growth, so you don't want to do it just any old website. Biz Filings has been at it for nearly 20 years, founded by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs, who set out to create the kind of experience they'd want if they had to do it all over again. You may not have incorporation all figured out just yet, but a quick visit to Biz Filings is a step in the right direction. Go to bizfilings.com/start for a free guide to get a clear line of sight into your incorporation. That's bizfilings.com/start. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have another very, very, very special guest. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me. It's so exciting to be on your show.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I hope so. I think I'm having a lot of fun so far.
Excellent. Let's jump straight into this. Nick, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Well, you know, I feel like I have so many different levels of different things that I'm attached to and helping. But I would say that probably the biggest thing is helping transition new members into our industry. And that's the beauty industry. I represent a salon with about 50 employees. And we also have an academy, Statements the Academy, where we train future cosmetologists and future professionals. And so part of training them and getting them launched in, there's a real fine art to that, teaching them how to book properly and manage their time and all of that. So I really try to teach that as much as I can from that ground up level to help them know how to have good habits and to help launch them and transition them in that way, having that contact. And so that's one level of a way that I feel like I've contributed into sort of the entrepreneurial success of other people. The other thing I would say is helping salon owners. With being a consultant for salon owners, I hope I've really helped, but just give information and share my experiences and help interpret business information in a way that makes it easy to understand for very artistic people to run their businesses a little bit better. And I feel like this is how I feel like my biggest contribution has been that.
I love it. So we all know the fact that every city has a ton of stylists, right?
Right.
And hairstylists, like the individual business, the person starts it up, maybe they get two or three people working within that organization too, and it's run by one person. I want to know, at what point, Nick, did you decide that you were going to scale this up beyond anything I've ever heard somebody doing to like 50 stylists and like $3 million in revenue and a year, and then also then to sort of create systems in place that you could then teach others to do this and expand it sort of across the nation? That's amazing to me.
Well, thank you so much, John. So it was not an easy road. You know, I think I've had a business now. I've launched Statements at the Salon 17 and a half years ago. Before then, I was a stylist. And so I would always encourage, you know, I hear a lot of other stylists saying, how do I start my own salon? I really want to do this. It's been a dream of mine. I would encourage anyone to go out there and do it. Don't be afraid. Be fearless about doing it. However, fearlessness and preparation, I think, are two separate things. And so being prepared and learning the right things and having the business acumen by preparing yourself by watching webinars and watching, going to seminars and actually listening to podcasts like yours and sharing, really experiencing what other people have learned is really, really important. So I think one of the steps for me personally and what happened was when I started the salon, it was just me by myself, if you can believe that, in a space with five stations. And then, you know, my goal was $500 a day. And now, you know, we've built that up in under 18 years to be 3 million this year, actually. And so part of in doing that, when I decided to ramp up, it was every single year, it was a goal. What I felt was the key player in that was sitting down and having annual reviews. So at the end of the year, after that year was done, I sat down in January, typically, looked at what the P&L was, learned how to read that, which was an impossible task for me because I'm an artist naturally, you know, I'm not a financial accountant. So what I had to really learn was how to look at what those numbers are and practice my brain in looking at the business in that way. Instead of just being like, oh, I just want a salon that looks pretty and does clients and make everyone happy, I had to get out of that mode. And starting to take myself out of that mode, I think the biggest change happened when I started to do those annual reviews. Sit down, plan it out, create a plan of action for that year, create a budget allocation for myself, write down exactly what I was going to spend that year on what, look at last year's budget, what worked for us, what didn't work for us, eliminate the numbers, start changing those things and really get cohesive about that. And then deciding to step back from the chair. Most stylists are tied behind the chair, or salon owners or stylists are tied behind the chair. And so then they just don't have the time to really do that. And I still suffer from that actually right now. But I ramped back one day and then 2 days. So I was on the floor 6 days and now I'm on the floor 3 days. And so I tend to take that time, allot it, and then start to create that time for myself. If you put it on the book and you schedule it, it's going to happen. So make it happen, make a list, to-do list, check it off when you get it done, and just force yourself to get it done, I think is the key when it started to really change my business and grow from there, you know, especially with training people, looking at how you were going to goal set with them and create numbers for them and create a pathway for them. And that takes time and effort and scheduling. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, no, it does really. So P&L statements are profits and loss?
Yes, exactly.
Just to clarify for the listener that hasn't spent the time like you have to learn about this.
Okay.
Because I think you're right that especially people with artistic sort of tendencies, we think that we don't need to know that stuff, that leave it to the professionals. But I think you're exactly right that, of course, you still need like a professional accountant. But you do need to understand it.
Right.
You need to understand where the money's coming from and where it's going and how you can allocate in the year coming.
Exactly.
So I love
that. So I think the piece of advice I would share with future salon owners or other entrepreneurs is I would say you are the captain of your ship, which means that no matter what, you have to understand how the inflow and the outflow of your money is. Money is the revenue that's being generated and your P&L is a documentation of that. Accounting is just a simple way of documenting what you're doing in financially inside that business. And we're all in business to make money. I mean, that's what we want to do. Granted, we want to be happy, but at the same time, we have to make money. And there's a lot of entrepreneurs that I know that get into the business for the love of it, for the love of what they do. And that's okay. And that's brilliant and so inspirational. But at the same time, you're going to have to take your brain out of that artistic place for a second and start to educate yourself. And there are so many countless ways to learn that these days. You don't have to go to school and get a college degree in accounting to be good and to be the captain of your ship. So you are in charge, you're at the helm. So you have to know what's going in, you have to know what's going out. So that's the inflow and the outflow. And then you have to see what that cash flow analysis is saying and learning what those documents really mean. And so that P&L at the end of the year, assessing exactly where you spent your money and exactly how you're accounting for it is essential to really understand. And it's not hard. It's actually super easy once you really just sit down with somebody who's experienced and learn how to do it and then just listen to webinars and things. And so on the Statements Project, our online academy, we teach that under the entrepreneur level. So we have a category called Salon Entrepreneur. And under that category, we teach in webinars. Some are 20 minutes, some are 45 minutes of just how to understand that document, understand the P&L, understand your cash flow analysis, understanding what the outflow means versus the inflow, understanding how to create a front desk that's controlling that money coming in and out and not losing money at every turn. You know, what you're making that day and what you're spending. And a lot of people don't look at what they're spending, but I would get a really tight hold on that. Your expenses are very important. So, understanding that. And trust me, I'm one of the most artistic people in the sense that I hate numbers naturally. So for me to learn that was no easy task. So if I can do it, anyone can do it. And it's not as hard as you think. So I would not feel discouraged about that or afraid of that at all.
Exactly. And I think it's the being afraid and then just being humble enough to admit that you don't know. And like you said in there, you said, just sit down with somebody who's an expert in this and ask them to explain it. And it's not hard, but it takes a certain kind of person to just be like, okay, I don't know this, but I need to know it. So I need to learn.
Exactly.
And I think that's really important in this whole entrepreneurial journey is when you don't know something, just admit it, learn it, and then move on.
You know, I think that you bring up a really good point. It's about self-reflecting and understanding exactly where you're weak at and where you're strong at. And if you're strong already in your skill set, that's what got you this business in the first place. You don't have to focus on that. You know, so many people keep focusing on that. Take a day of your week, schedule 5 hours a week, 3 hours a week, whatever you can muster up and do, and get it in there and start to learn about how you're doing that. Schedule the time for it, force yourself through it, and pretty soon, once you start seeing that you have a better handle on things, it gets really exciting to start running your business that way.
Yeah. And that leads very well into this, because every expert now talks about 80-20. Do 20% of the work, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest.
Exactly.
So, Nick, could you tell me something within your business that you are right now absolutely not good at?
Well, I am not good at saying no at all. I say yes to everything. I think that I can accomplish 80 things on my to-do list every single day. And I have to learn myself personally. One of my biggest goals this year is, or in 2016, the remainder of this year, is to learn to say, you know, no, when I just can't do it. And delegating is part of that. So setting up the proper people in your chain of command where you can say, you know what, you're in charge, Iva, of doing this, you know, of just sending all emails out. And, you know, Nicole, you're in charge of bookkeeping or whatever that is. Start to create a chain of command. There are so many people that want responsibilities in your business, but how will you know until you ask them? And then give them a little bit of the opportunities. Don't be such a perfectionist that you think, you know, one of the things I really don't like to hear is when someone says, it never gets done right unless I do it. I don't believe in that at all. I think that it will get done better if you delegate the correct person than what even you can do. And so give it the right training, give it the right time, and learn to say no when you're supposed to. And I'm learning that. I'm getting better at that actually every single day. And I have right now 7 salon leaders in our business between managers, front desk leaders, trainers, people who do goal settings, things like this. So I've already started that process of putting people in place where I can shift off responsibilities. I can say, you know what, today I only have 12 hours in the today to get it done. I have my priority list prioritized properly. And then shift off the responsibilities of somebody that can honestly do the job better than me.
Nice. Were you always good at delegation?
I feel like I'm pretty good at delegation. You know, I was in the beginning when I first started a business. I definitely suffered from that same condition of saying, oh, I just have to do it myself if I want it done right. You know, it's such a negative mentality, to be honest with you. And I really had to train myself out of that. So thank goodness I'm not really thinking that way. Learning to be really mindful of what I'm good at to create change in sort of, you know, there's that micromanagement, macromanagement concept. That macromanagement is me, it's you, it's the entrepreneur, it's the leader of that business. You guys create the vision and you drive that vision. And so, but to create the everyday changes, it's the micromanagers. And so many people, when they hear the word micromanager, they go, oh, they're going to cringe. It's so negative. It's really not negative. Micromanagement is being able to see the details. And it's these leaders that you put into place in your chain of command that really create shift and change and keep an eye on everything and document. Because with any small business, I mean, you really do need to document so many things so you can track it. If you track it, you can see the change. And then you as the visionary or as the macro manager, you can really see what's happening inside your business from overview where you can start shifting change in your business in a really big way.
I love it. Micromanagement is being able to see the details.
Absolutely.
I love
micromanagement
it.
For us is to see, you know, every day they see little things like, you know, it's, and again, it's teaching your leaders to not be just people who bitch at people all the time. You know, I'm not saying put somebody in place just to be the guard dog. I'm saying put people in place to inspire change in other people and to document. And so that you can start seeing what's happening so you can hold people accountable.
Nice. I love it. I love it because it's true. Everyone, and I think everyone just repeats that whole mantra of like that micromanagement is terrible. And I love that you step back and like, no, wait a minute, it's not. We're just all repeating that phrase.
It's a necessity.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. So 50 stylists, 7 salon leaders, 4 companies under this one brand. You still don't quite have the ability to say no like you would like to. And you mentioned like a 12-hour workday. I would like to know what is the first 30 minutes of a workday look like to you? How do you sort of set yourself up to get all the things done that you need to get done?
Well, my first 30 minutes don't happen in the morning. My first 30 minutes happen at midnight. So normally when I'm done with my day and I put my boys, my beautiful boys to bed, and I kind of go downstairs by myself and I sit and, you know, either have a glass of wine or, you know, just some munchies and just sit there and work. I send emails out at that time. My brain functions better at that time. So I prepare for my day at night. So I prep it. I make a list. I text people quite often, actually late at night, at midnight. And, you know, I always say they know now, they just ignore my text until the morning, but I send messages out to all the leaders if I have any to do task. And then I prep it for the next day. I get everything ready. So I know exactly what the next day is going to hold before I go to bed. So I don't worry about it. That's the only way I can sleep, to be really honest with you, when you have so much going on that I just feel like I can get rid of it and wash it off my brain. So I prep. So that's when I really, really prep. And then when I get up in the morning, I, you know, get there and I just start. But my days can start fast and hard. As soon as I hit the ground running, as soon as I get to work. So to be honest with you, if you don't like to do things at night, it would be better if you get to work a little early so you can be there a 30, 45, even an hour early. Sit, compose your day, make a list, get a to-do list. I am a huge proponent of to-do list. I think that to-do list given to everybody, you as the macro manager, you as the visionary, create the list that all of your leaders need to get done. And then those leaders finish those tasks, check off, everyone's accountable to it, and then hold back to you. And you say, okay, we got 80 things done today. And so you can propel the business fast that way, in my opinion.
I love it.
Not that everything gets done, John, to be really honest with you. There are many days that, you know, we have to put certain things on hold just because it just isn't, you know, just doesn't get done. I tend to be a bit of a driver. I push myself probably harder than most other people, but it tends to feed off to other people. So they know to tell me. They're really open-ended. I'm very easy to talk to. So they'll say, you know what, hey, just it's enough. You know, we're done. We're tapped out today.
We're not responding to your texts at midnight, that sort of thing. Okay, so as entrepreneurs and even as human beings, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes and failing. So you as the leader, as the visionary, as the macro manager, you put things in place or you come up with things that you want to do and you think that it's the direction the business should go. And at some point we find out that sometimes these are not the right direction. So, Nick, could you please tell me how to be wrong in your business?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd like to say when I read that question, that's a very multifaceted question, actually. So I can answer that probably 40 different ways. But I thought about that a little bit. And so here's kind of how I feel about it. First of all, I want to give a definition of wrong, or I would say failure. There is fear out there of failing always. And I think that people who want to become entrepreneurs, to take that leap out of the corporate structure or just even working for someone else, they have this notion that they can't fail. You know, it has to succeed. Here's the thing with failure. Failure is not bad. Failure is really good, actually. Failure is the learning curve. And the learning curve happens, whether you want it to or not. Think of your entrepreneurial ride as like a roller coaster. So you get on the ride and you just have to hang on. So many people get off the ride or jump off before you actually reach anything because they're just too afraid of the failure. Well, failure is okay because failure is what's going to teach you how to do it different. This is why you have to track and account for and talk to people and communicate and all those things so that you can really understand what's happening. And then from that point, when you make a mistake, and trust me, I've made millions of mistakes every single day where I just go back and I say, you know what, let's clear the drawing board and tomorrow we're going to start again. And I am very open-ended. If you speak to any one of my leaders or anyone, I've apologized many times for assessing something incorrectly. And I'll say, you know what, that was just incorrect. And I've learned from that. And so what I've learned is I'm going to do it differently next time with you. And so please accept that apology and let's move forward and let's learn from our experience. And I expect the same from everyone that works with me. So if they've made a mistake, I want them to say, you know what, that was bad. Change that again. But let's do it again. But I would say self-reflection is the first thing that you need to start learning how to do very, very well and taking a good hard look at it. And then the second thing is being accountable out loud or in your mind to yourself saying, I could do this better and this is how I should change this, and documenting that. I like to write things down quite a bit. I journal everything. So part of being wrong is writing it down. And so when you go back and you can really learn, anyone can be wrong. It's not the mistake that's the issue. It's how you handle the mistake afterwards, I think, is really the key. And so if you handle it in a way that you really shift change, then it's the beautiful thing. Then failure becomes just the learning curve and not a failure at all. And so that's kind of how I would like to train everyone inside my business to be wrong.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Especially the analogy of the roller coaster, because it's true. There's ups and downs, but it's part of the roller coaster. It's not a failure when you get to the dip.
Right.
It's literally just part of it. That's how it works.
Right.
And then,
John, in the last 18 years, I can't tell you how many nights I've gone home sitting in my car, chain smoking and crying. You know what I mean? Because it was just like, what happened today? What did I do? You know, what was that? And so you're going to have that. The key is to hold on tight and enjoy it because it's a privilege to have your own business and it's a privilege to be an entrepreneur. And enjoy the ride, you know, and just hang on. It'll get there.
Why? Because the chain smoking and crying in your car is absolutely I totally know this. And I think we all do that have been in this game long enough. We all know that. We know it way more than one time. Why do we do this to ourselves? Why don't we just get jobs and just work for somebody else and let that person deal with that stuff? Because I agree, it is just a ride and enjoy the ride. But what makes us enjoy this?
You know, it's because you want to create change. I really believe that there is what makes entrepreneurial spirit, in my opinion. My dad said something to me one time, and it has resonated with me until this moment. I was just a teenager, actually, when he said it to me. And, you know, I wasn't the most brilliant student. Sometimes I got good grades, sometimes I didn't. It was random. And he said to me, you know, there is two types of people. The type of people that desire just to kind of get through their day and do whatever it is that they need to get done. And then there are the people that need excellence, that desire excellence and strive for it always, no matter what they're doing. And anything and everything they do, it could be the tiniest thing to the biggest thing. And he said, you have that. And I was so fortunate that I came from an entrepreneurial family because they really taught me that. And so I think the difference is people who want to be an entrepreneur tend to have the nature to want to create change and want to be excellent at things that they're doing, the tiniest things, and to create change in the world and create change in people's lives. And this is why people have visions. And this is why people create ideas and to create products that can create change. I mean, look at Steve Jobs and what he did with our life now and with iPhones. I mean, this is vision. And vision just stems from a place, in my opinion, that's just a desire for excellence and a desire to help people and create change in people's lives.
Yeah, I love it.
And that's fun, in my opinion.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, so this has been just a brilliant conversation. The notes that I have, I'm actually going to just say this out loud for thinking about it, because you're like the 149th or something interview I've done in the past 13 months. Mm-hmm. And I take notes, and sometimes the notes are small and just kind of me just kind of trying to remember some stuff, but I've now completely run out of room from what you said. It's amazing. It's awesome. And I've actually, as I'm looking at this, because of all the stuff you said, I try and figure out like what the title's going to be of the episode. Mm-hmm. Now I've got like 6 potential titles. I have this spot for 6 different potential, the hacks that I pull out of our conversation. I've used them up 3 times now, each of them. So basically the whole conversation's marked with time codes. And I was thinking, I should take a picture of this and actually just post this with the show notes, because this right here is like so much value. This conversation has been awesome. I'm like really, really, really inspired by it.
Thank you, John. I love talking about this stuff, and I hope that, you know,
I love it.
I'll be happy to talk to you anytime. You know that. Maybe, cool. If you want to have a conversation every month, I will.
I love it. Okay, we're going to wrap up on something I've been calling the entrepreneurial gap. So this is this place that I feel that we live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, and as people trying to do these big things, that we are constantly looking forward and setting goals into the future. So 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years out, we're always, when my business gets here in 6 months or does this project, I'll be successful. But before we even quite accomplish that, we set 5 or 10 loftier ones into the future. And when we hit those, we will be successful. But sometimes we fail to ever get there. It's always pushing forward. What I would like right now, Nick, is if you could stop, turn around, look at the last 17 and a half years, everything you've learned, everything you've gone through, and just tell me exactly how you feel about your entrepreneurial career up till this time.
Your phone cut out. So you want me to talk about the entrepreneurial career?
Yeah. How you feel about the last 17 and a half years of building your business, what you've learned, what you've done, what you've accomplished, and just tell me how you feel about it looking back.
So this is very intriguing to me, because I very rarely stop and take a moment and look back on anything, because I keep my eye on the next goal always. So this is a very fun task for me, actually. I would tell you that if I had to look back on my last 17 and a half years, it has been the biggest privilege of my entire life. It has been a defining role that I've had to be put into the situation and to be challenged the way that I've been. It has defined who I am. You know, from when I first started and being 28 years old, I thought, you know, when you're in your 20s, you think you know everything. And when I look back on it now, how very little I actually knew. And what it has done is humbled me to this moment where I realize how much more I actually have to learn. And I feel like right now, 18 years later, in the position that I'm in, I am just at the bottom and the beginning of growing my career and entrepreneurial goals to what I hope and dream they can be in the future. And so I feel like I'm just beginning actually now. And everything that I've had to learn up to this point has been defining and has been molding for me to develop my real character and my real skill set into what I'm about to do in the future. So I feel like that has just prepped me. It's just been preparatory work. It's been fun. It's been so fun, I can't even tell you. There has been times where it's been so challenging that I thought I was going to give up or sell the business or leave or just quit. There have been people that I've met that have been destructive and saying destructive, negative things. And what I can think now when I look back on that, I would tell people, if you have anyone saying those kind of things to you in your life, know when to separate real criticism, meaning when somebody is genuinely helping you and saying, learn something or you can't do something. And disregard anyone saying you can't do it, because that's not true. You can do it. If you have a thought and that thought is actually in your brain, all you have to do is manifest that thought in reality, and it's up to you to do that. And so I would tell you that that's probably what I have taken away from the 17 and a half years that I've had the privilege of owning my own business.
I love it. Manifest that thought, because, and you are living the proof of it. So that's, I absolutely love it. Nick, we've got to speak about your business in passing during this conversation. Could you explicitly tell my listener where they can go find out more about you and your business?
Absolutely. So I'm going to give you a very brief overview, but I really want to talk about the Statements Project primarily. So I have a salon, Woodbridge, Virginia. It's called Statements the Salon, and we have 50 employees. We are grossing annual revenue this year, probably $3 million. My goal is by the 20th year anniversary, we're going to hit 4 to 4.5. So that's my target for the next year and a half, 2 years. Then I have the academy where we license everyone for, to get into the industry, beauty industry, cosmetology. And then we also have a photography business. But the big, big dream of mine is called The Statements Project. It's a labor of love. It's a business that is an online website. It's called thestatementsproject.com. And it is targeted to three audiences, students, so salon students trying to get licensed and fill that gap up of getting licensed and getting to be productive, high earning stylist behind the chair or anything else in the beauty industry. And then the stylist to learn tutorials. But the big, big meaty part is for salon owners who are trying to push their business and develop their business and to just drive that business into higher levels in the future, to learn how to run their businesses better and more confidently, to understand how to lead their staff with mindfulness and happiness and joy, and to understand numbers and to get smarter about what choices they're making and to be accountable to their staff. So all of these different things we offer. We have about 142 webinars on the website thus far. We are loading about anywhere from 4 to 6 new webinars every single month. And I'm going to push forward with this. This is my lifelong project. I've realized that. I also do salon consulting. I travel to do that, but that's not that big of, you know, what I've created with this website is for the salon owners that don't have the time nor the financial resources to really go out and hire a consultant. You know, that's fine and good, but who has $20,000 to spend on a consultant, you know, when you're trying to build your business? So I'm trying to offer every single thing that I offer to salon owners or to business owners. I've also helped other business owners to develop their businesses and their financial business acumen. And I'm trying to do that online. So you can just connect with me there. If you want to talk, I'm very open to talk anytime. You can shoot me an email through the website. I'll respond. I love having conversations with anybody. I'm an open book to share all my experiences, interpret any information that you have. So
I love it. I love it. And please take Nick up on that because as you've heard, she definitely knows business. So thestatementsproject.com and statementsthesalon.com. I will link to both of those in the show notes for you. So they're very, very, very easy for you to find. So again, Nick, thank you so much for joining me today and for this amazing conversation. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you, John, so much. I really, really appreciate you taking the time and allowing me the opportunity to share with your audience.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
So excited about it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nick, thank you so much for that really brilliant conversation. And this conversation actually went on a bit after, and I don't know, we just had a lot of fun. And it was just a really, really, truly engaging conversation. And you're out there listening to Nick, and she's so different than so many people. And I mean, I brought this up during the conversation, but it really, really, truly impresses me how so many people would start something like a salon. It's like a trade to me that you could have. But the scaling beyond yourself, it's like so many trades, because I came from, I mean, my dad is a contractor, like building houses and stuff, and I grew up in it, and I kind of went into it for a while myself. But it was so hard to scale beyond just filling up your own time, filling up. It's like freelancing. I mean, if you're doing design work or you're doing development work, we have a hard time scaling it to actually become a real business. Nick now has 50 employees working, or salonists like working under her. It's amazing. And like going to $3 million in revenue from that one business alone, it's amazing. So, and I love her drive and her ambition. And I just hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. Nick really, she really got into the details of some things, and it really interested me, and I loved her thought process on lots of different aspects of her business from the beginning, and then also the mindset of it. But when I listen back to the conversation, there's the one thing that sticks out to me, the one thing that Nick said that really, really, really hit home with me, that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
So many people, when they hear the word micromanager, they go, oh, they're going to cringe. It's so negative. It's really not negative. Micromanagement is being able to see the details. And it's these leaders that you put into place in your chain of command that really create shift and change and keep an eye on everything and document. Because with any small business, I mean, you really do need to document so many things so you can track it. If you track it, you can see the change. And then you as the visionary or as the macro manager, you can really see what's happening inside your business from overview where you can start shifting change in your business in a really big way.
And that's the hack. Nick, I love this. This is so essential. And the question that I get so many times with my guests is there's this theme where us as the visionaries, the creatives, right? We want to just be big picture. We want to see just the big picture. And we do. We negatively connotate towards micromanagement. And micromanagement doesn't necessarily need to be for us, except for the fact, at least not once we put people in place to take care of the details. But the details are all that really matter within a business. The best ideas fail when the details aren't followed up on and taken care of after the fact. And I get that we don't want to do it ourselves a lot of times, but we do have to do enough of it to get our business to the level where we can then put people in place. And it's, the details are, I mean, where we want to be. But I love how Nick just says, she gets rid of the whole idea, because lots of times we repeat these things. We repeat things that we hear, such as, oh, micromanagers are the worst. They're the worst leaders or CEOs or founders of companies because they just want to be in parts of all of it. And you absolutely have to. And it's hard to say and it's hard to admit, but Nick is absolutely right in this. And not in every aspect, but you do have to know and value the details, because without them, I don't think our businesses will go anywhere. I don't think Nick would go from working herself as a salonist to having 50 other salonists working with her without this mindset and this shift of how to perceive your business. And Nick, I want to thank you for that. That was brilliant. I love it. All right. That was a lot of fun. As always, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Get on the email list. I'm writing a book. There, I said it. And it's going to be, I think, coming out in December, we're working on. So I would love to keep you in the loop about it and hopefully get your feedback on some things as we go. Hacktheentrepreneur.com, you'll see a place to drop in your email. I'm going to be writing every Sunday, be writing you and sending you my best hacks from the week and my best writing. But I'll also be keeping you up to date on the book. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think you should partake. It's going to be great. But either way, I thank you so much for listening. I really, really do truly, truly appreciate it. And yeah, it's been fun. Hit me up. Also with the email. I mean, once you get on that email list, you can respond to any, including the welcome email, and you have my straight into my inbox. And ask me any questions. Tell me any comments. Just let's have a conversation. I would love to chat with you. This conversation sometimes feels really one way otherwise. It's just me just talking and talking and talking into your ear. But I do appreciate you listening. So please, have fun. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.